If I can just have your attention here, we'll ask Brother Ken to lead us in the wrap-up session.
Thanks, Brother Tim. We have one last assignment that we'll undertake each day, the intent of which is to encourage us to internalize the studies that we're undertaking to the point where it can begin to change our life. Not up here, but in what we do. So what we'll do each morning is take the first 5 minutes of this session, and before we let go now of the parable of the two builders and the parable of the sower, because, you know, if you're leading a discussion group tomorrow, your mind is going to change focus rather quickly. We want to capture individually what the lessons of these two parables have been for us. Each of us has spent many hours in reviewing what they mean and what God intends to teach us by them. But before we close the book on the two parables, it will be helpful if each of us can identify what life lessons God has taught us. And when we talk about life lessons, it's not complicated. Life lessons begin with reading and studying the Bible, because we know God has written the Word in such a way to transform our character. It's a deliberate process God intends for us to use. It begins with sound exposition. What is the meaning of the parable? Which is what the workbooks were designed to get at. Secondly, it establishes the divine principle or principles that Jesus is teaching in the parable. And lastly, in using a single principle, identify the life lesson and how this principle applies in my life and what changes I need to make to honor this principle. The greatest danger of our study this week and of our study that began sometime 2, 3, 4 months ago is that we will learn these things and we will talk about these things and we will feel good about these things. And that's as far as it goes. The power is in making the changes. So hopefully you've had enriching discussions this morning of both parables and how they apply to how we live. God is looking for us to change our life. So Ben could talk about the same principles as Ken, and Glenn could talk the same principles as Hannah, and the Hannah in this row could talk about the same principles as Seth. But as they talked about those principles, because Hannah and Seth and Glenn and Tim and Ken and the other Tim are all in different stages of life facing different trials and temptations, they all have a different application to each of them. So what you write down on your paper will be different from what the person writes down on the paper next to you. But God is now asking you, now encouraging you to take these principles and internalize them to the point to where Liz is going to consider now what she's heard discussed and how this applies in her life. The power of God's Word is unleashed when we make this final step, this final connection to applying these principles and specifically how we live. The list you make, we would encourage you to include in your personal prayers later tonight. These principles, if applied in your life, will make you a better disciple. Whether you're baptized or not, it will make you a better disciple. Not to your honor and glory, but to God's honor and glory. This is the toughest part. You thought those 72 pages of workbook were tough? They were easy. Or was it 78 pages? I forget. They were easy compared to this next and last step. It was easy to sit out in the sun and talk about the Bible, wasn't it? Wasn't it enjoyable? And that's what it should be. But this next step is the tough one. This separates the good soil people from the not good soil people. This separates those who build their house on the rock from those who build their house on the sand. So what we have is a fairly simple form. It's for your own use. If you can find a different form you would prefer to use, that's quite all right. We'll take the next 5 minutes. This is not intended to be the full allotment of the wrap-up session. We'll take the next 5 minutes and ask you to internalize what you've learned in the parable. It isn't even the same for husband and wife. So what Alex writes down will probably be different than what Robin writes down. Go for the details. Be specific. We're not looking for general principles here. We're not looking for what the parable means. We're looking for what God is trying to reach or trying to teach you in your life based on the trials you're facing, based on the temptations, based on the challenges. Okay, set those aside if you would, and again, we would encourage you to commit these things to prayer, because we, as we talked about in our group, you know, when it comes to trying to overcome the influence of the thorns, when it comes to even recognizing what thorns exist in our life, prayer is an important aspect of that process. It's one thing to recognize the trials we face. It's another to recognize that we don't have the power to overcome those temptations ourselves, and we're in need of God's help. But this is how we are transformed, as we know, brothers and sisters and young people. It's the seed that is planted in our heart. You know, you place Jeremiah 3 alongside of the parable of the sower, and how can we start out with a heart that is deceitful and corrupt and end up, as Mark 4 says, with a heart that is good and noble, one that bears fruit? And the only way for that heart to be changed is because the seed of the sower has been planted in it. And as a result of that seed being planted in that heart, the heart is transformed into a new person. And that's really what we're trying to achieve this week. Just a couple thoughts on both parables. Sometimes I find it helpful to come back to a subject from a different perspective once we've been talking about it to gain even more insight. And in terms of the two builders, I don't know, did any of the groups talk about how you can impact the building of another person and their foundation? It wasn't until I was fairly well into the study of that parable that it dawned on me that, you know, I can have a tremendous influence on the foundation and the house that someone else is building, just as I can have a tremendous influence on the thorns that exist in another person's life. But we can either strengthen the foundation of our friend's house, or we can go the other route. We're talking now about godly friends, friends in the truth, and weaken the very foundation that they are attempting to build in their life. Because as we saw in our studies, both men approach both lots, and there is sand on both. One digs down deep to the foundation, to the rock. It says that is upon the, it's this rock will be the foundation of the house that I live on. And the other, of course, ignores the sand and builds accordingly. But we can be very impactful on the person sitting next to us, not somebody out in the world, not somebody far away. We can be very impactful in the foundation that they are building. And it's important that we help strengthen one another's foundation and encourage one another to have strong foundations. We also saw in that parable that God is going to bring storms in your life. So Sarah, Abel, prepare yourself. Bethel, prepare yourself. Reuben, prepare yourself. God will bring storms. The parable guarantees it. The question is, in what condition will our house be when the storms come? You see, the storms are what develop faith. God can't save us without developing our faith, and He can't develop our faith without bringing storms. It's paradoxical to those outside the truth who don't understand the wisdom of how God works, but that is the wisdom by which our God works. He purposely brings the trials so that the trials will increase our faith and encourage our reliance upon Him and expose our inability to endure these trials through our own strength. But it's those same trials that can save us because they can develop our faith that can also wash away our house if our foundation has not been established. The thorns serve as quite a warning to us in the parable of the sower. That there's three influences Jesus points out in the parable that will stop the divine process. Did you notice the process in that parable where the seed is sown and then the plant grows, and the idea is the fruit will then be developed. And in that process, there will be the temptation not to listen to the seed when it first arrives in our ears, not to hear. Then there will be the temptation of growing for a little bit, and the sun comes and scorches the plant because there's no root that's been developed. And then there's and that you could liken to the persecution. I believe it's in the Mark account, or maybe it's Matthew's account, where it's the persecution that occurs, and as a result the plant is lost. And then there are the lusts and the enticements of this life that occur in the thorny soil. But in each case, there are elements that come into our life that can stop this divine process. In the case of the persecution, we can't do anything about that. We can do something about our refusal to hear the word and respond to it, and the seed that was thrown on the wayside. But when persecution or ridicule comes into our life because of how we're living, we can't do much about that other than to endure it. But when it comes to the thorns, there's a great deal we can do. And hopefully all of us had opportunity to discuss the need to remove the thorns from our life. If you were in the older group, you would have heard the older group lament as they considered the danger. There are thorns in our lives that when they first appeared on the scene and they were only about 2 inches high, we let them grow and grow and grow. And before long, the thorns were about 4 feet high. And at that point, it's difficult to take that kind of influence out of your life because it's now got almost a stranglehold on you. So take the thorns out early on and help each other remove the thorns. Very difficult for me to identify the thorny influences in my life. That's why it's helpful to have godly friends that can point out to us that issue is having a negative impact in your life in ways that you may not fully appreciate. And have the spiritual courage to share that with your friends. And I just don't mean the friends here. The friends you have in the ecclesias back home. Have the spiritual courage. Take the lesson from Joseph from a year ago, who had the spiritual courage to speak up when he saw a situation that was going to jeopardize the salvation of his brethren. We can do something about the thorns. Don't fertilize the thorns. If I get together with another brother and say, let's go out and do something that is a bit ungodly, but we'll have a good time. All I'm doing is fertilizing his thorns, and he's fertilizing my thorns. Don't do that to each other. But we can if we're not careful. And we can have that deceptive influence that as long as we're together, good things will happen. They won't necessarily. It's important that when we are together, that we encourage one another in the right things of this life. Because the warning of the last days is from Genesis to Revelation. The faithful believers in the last days will face unique challenges, unique trials. There are going to be very high thorns, Jesus says, in the last days. And it's those high thorns, those great enticements that we need to be aware of. It's incumbent upon the older ones in our community to share with the younger ones not only how we have faced the thorns in our life and sometimes fallen victim to them, but the thorns you face, the thorns that are faced by today's younger generation, yourselves, are much more severe. You can hardly turn on the internet without having some kind of influence in a negative way. And all of those things that used to be, excluded from our life unless we went out and got them, they are now very prevalent. The downfall, of course, of the thorny ground people were the lusts. And the parable is teaching us that we cannot bear fruit and fulfill lusts at the same time. The lusts have to be crucified. The thorns have to be removed. The enticements have to be eliminated from our life in order for righteousness to be able to take hold. The other aspect we talked about was the fact that both parables are encouraging us to have a deep root. whether it's a deep root of a good, healthy plant that will bring forth fruit, or it's the deep digging that was encouraged in the parable of the two builders. So I think we'll leave it there for this morning and look forward to tomorrow morning's studies together.